you join me in a word of prayer, please? Father God, I ask that you would speak through my words and that you would open our hearts to receive that word and let us open that just like a Christmas present. Let this be in the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So when I was a kid, I loved me some peanuts. Not the you know, not that everybody has allergies to. I like those okay. But the cartoon strip Peanuts. And this was huge. Some of you are old enough to remember how big Peanuts was. All this Pokemon stuff, you know, the craze going on. Forget that, man. It was all about Snoopy and Charlie Brown. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day, I mean, he's all waiting for the Snoopy float to come by. You remember those days, don't you? I used to have, I got all these books. They were one of the first guys to do it, to collect all the comic strips, you remember, in a consolidated book. And I started, you know, with the old ones, which were okay. But, you know, Charles Schulz really found his groove after a while when his art was fully formed. And as I collected those things, I remember what a hard day, what a sad day it was when I finally noticed that the latest book that I had bought, I remembered all those because I'd read them through the paper. And there are no more new cartoons for me, and all I could do was just read the comic strip every day instead of just binge reading all those wonderful cartoons. And I loved all those guys. I mean, you know, Charlie Brown, everybody loved Snoopy, right? The World War II Flying Ace and the Vulture and Joe Cool. You remember all those things. But for me, I think maybe after Snoopy, my favorite Charlie Brown character of all was Linus. Linus was really intelligent and he was wise, right? He would quote scripture. He would quote philosophers. He would always say something that was just incredibly insightful, bring something to whatever dilemma Charlie Brown had found himself in. And Linus was deeply flawed, too. You remember that? He always had that blanket that he was sporting right there. In fact, I found this cartoon. It was just a part of it. If you can't read it, you know, Linus is at the 5-cent Lucy psychiatric help. And he says, man, I'm in sad shape. My life is full of fear and anxiety, and the only thing that keeps me going is this blanket. I need help. Now, I can almost remember that when I think he tried this experimental, you know, Lucy tried to separate him from the blanket, and he lasted about 3 seconds before he's just, you know, got that cartoon sweat going off of him. Then he dove and grabbed it again and had some rationalization to hold on to it because he never could let go of that blanket. No matter who tried to separate him from that blanket, man, he always had it. And then my sister pointed out something to me that I'd never noticed before. It was in that Charlie Brown Christmas special when Linus did exactly what our friend Connor did a little bit ago. He's quoting the passage from Luke. And right when he quotes the angel and says, fear not, he drops the blanket. Just like Connor did. You could go watch it when you go home. I promise you, he drops the blanket right there. And it's pretty clear what Schulz was doing in that moment. You know, he was a Christian, Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts. That shouldn't be a surprise to you. Who else, what kind of lunatic would put four lines or four verses of Scripture if you're not Christian, right? And you think you'd never get away with that today. And you're right, you would never, ever get away with that kind of thing today. But it wasn't popular back then either. The producers said, no way. And Charles Schulz said, way. And guess who got their way? And when you look at this, it seems pretty clear what his message was. His message was, now that Jesus has come into the world, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to fear. Fear not. In fact, that thing that you're holding on to, you can let go of it. Because that's a false sense of security. That's never really going to give you security after all. Fear not. Let go of that thing that you're holding on to. Because it never really kept you that safe after all. Some of you may have maybe not a shiny new blue blanket to hold on to like our friend Linus had, but we all have our own security blankets, don't we? Maybe your 401k. Maybe a daily dose of kale that just is going to keep you living forever, right? But why would you want to? That's the thing I can never quite wrap my mind around. Or maybe you're like my neighbor in Maryland, Subhash Nanduri. He used to drive like an hour and a half to work. It was all the way on the other side of D.C. Oh, man. I asked him one time, how can you do that? D.C. drivers make Seattle drivers seem positively friendly. It is unbelievable. They're crazy people every day. And that's just an hour and a half to work, an hour and a half back, 3 hours of every day he would do this. And he told me, I try not to think about it. Really? That's it? You just try not to think about it? And so you're not like waking up with all this anxiety that would drive me crazy? It's just that easy. You just try not to think about it. And then a year later, he moves down to Virginia, really, really close to where he works, because apparently his trying not to think about it was causing actual health problems for him. This is what our sense of false security does for us. And yet this angel appears and says, fear not. Like it's that easy. Right? I wonder if the shepherds actually, some of them maybe stopped fearing at that time. Maybe some of them just left because the whole host of angels, the sky had been torn open and 10,000 supernatural beings are singing and they're like, yeah, I'll just go check out this child just to get away from this terrifying scene here. Because if you haven't noticed, when you just tell somebody, fear not, it doesn't always make them stop fearing. Jesus told people all the time, don't be afraid, stop fearing. Didn't always work, though. I did a word search for afraid and fear, and the Bible's full of it. The Gospels are full of the word fear and afraid. Maybe you remember some of the stories where Jesus would tell his followers, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. There's one time that Jesus is in the back of the boat. He's just wiped out. He's exhausted. He's sleeping, and a storm comes up. And that boat is taken on water, and I don't know if Jesus was like fake sleeping or if he was just really that out of it. But the disciples are saying, wake up, we're dying. Don't you care, Master, that we're dying? And so Jesus wakes up, he awoke and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And by calm, I would say on the outside of the boat, because on the inside they weren't calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Do you see what happens there? The storm has stopped, and then they're filled with great fear. Like they were pretty afraid of drowning. But then when Jesus said, knock it off, and the storm stops, they go from, to, at the person inside the boat. There's another time that Jesus isn't even with them. He was also kind of wiped out. He says, I'm going to go pray. You guys just go across the lake. I'll catch up later. And so they're rowing hard and not making headway. And Jesus realizes, well, I got to get to the other side of the boat. And if you're Jesus, you just go, he walks across the water. And Mark makes it sound like he's not even stopping for them, right? He's just on his way to the other side. But they see him and they freak out. They're terrified because they think it's a ghost. And what does Jesus say? Immediately, Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid. Well, Peter actually picks up on this, right? He says, well, if you're here, Lord, I won't be afraid. I'll tell you what, if you call to me, I'll walk out on the water with you. So Jesus says, come on. You know what's going to happen, right? But when Peter saw the wind, he was, say it with me, afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And of course, Jesus saves him. You remember the story of Jesus' passion and death? He's arrested. At first, Peter's going to cut off the ear of a servant, you know, not an actual guard. But when Jesus says, we're not fighting these guys, it doesn't take too long before they scatter and they flee. Why? You know it. Because they were afraid. But here's the thing. While the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell the story of Jesus' life, birth, life, death, resurrection. There's a book after that called Acts that kind of picks up what happens after Jesus dies and is resurrected. And in that book, you don't see the word fear and afraid, at least not used in the same way. There's a fear of the Lord, which is a sort of a different thing. And the only other time that the disciples, the church, is said to be afraid is when they don't trust this guy, Paul, who's had been persecuting them, and he says, no, I'm on your team now. And I think there it's really used as they're kind of wary. They're kind of nervous around him. They don't really trust him, but they're not afraid. What happened? You've transformed people who were terrified all the time. Peter goes and denies Jesus because who called him? A servant girl. He's afraid of girls. And the church becomes fearless after that. What changed? What happened? And this is documented outside of the Bible as well. There's a physician named Claudius Galenus from around the year 200 is when he died. And they weren't actually allowed to study bodies at that time or corpses. So what they would do, physicians would go to the games, if you want to call them that, would go to the arena, to the Colosseum, and see Christians slaughtered by the hundreds because you get a real good look at a human body there. And here's what he notices about Christians. He says, for fearlessness of death and the hereafter is something we witness in them every day. The disciples, the church, became fearless. Why? Because they saw Jesus rise from the dead. Not because they just believed it, not because they just heard it, because they saw with their very eyes this man who had died rises from the dead. And let's face it, if you can't kill me, what else you got? This is the thing that all of us are ultimately afraid of, isn't it? I mean, when we were little, you remember when you were little, right? Your parents would say, there's nothing to be afraid of. And you grew up, and you realize, hey, there is nothing to be afraid of, right? Wrong. There's everything to be afraid of. Good grief. I'd like to pet that dog, but I'm afraid he'll bite. Right? I'm afraid the stock market is going down. I'm afraid I can't afford this new car that I just bought. I'm afraid that I've maxed out my credit cards this Christmas, and I don't know how I'm going to pay them. I'm afraid my wife will leave me. I'm afraid my husband will stay. I'm afraid that my investments were poor investments. I'm afraid that my job isn't secure like I thought it was. I'm afraid my health is failing. I'm afraid of this. What if that? What if, what if, what if, what if? It just goes on and on. But if you look at the ultimate fear, it has to be the thing that all those things lead to. If that dog bites me, I'm going to get infected and then I'm going to die. If my kids are making bad decisions, ultimately it's going to end up with them dying. And Jesus has taken that fear away from us. And His disciples, while they thought, I'm sure they went through the cycle, right? When they thought He is the Son of God, even the wind and the waves obey Him. And then, well, He's killed. Nope. Wait, not God. Son of God doesn't die. God doesn't die. And then He rises from the dead, and oh yes, He is God for sure. So when Jesus assures them, you don't have to die. If you believe in me, you have eternal life. You don't need to fear not just death itself, but the hereafter. What if I haven't been good enough? And Jesus says, don't worry about that. I have taken that fear away from you. That's a gift I'd like to give you this Christmas. Fearlessness. It's a gift that Jesus has provided each and every one of us. Not because of just what He said or what He taught, but because of what He did. have, ultimately, don't they end up in the ultimate fear? Death and the hereafter. That thing that Dr. Galen said that Christians, day after day after day, showed fearlessness in the face of death and the hereafter. Why? Because Jesus had taken that away. And not just the number one fear. Now, if you let Him, I promise you, if you let Him, He will walk with you through all of those little fears as well. Because He loves you, and He came here to be your Christmas present and give you that fearlessness. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a great, really incomprehensible gift Your Son is, who grants us salvation, who grants us so many things that we've just been exploring these last few weeks. Fearlessness, who lets us peek into who You are and how much You love us. God, would You help us to face that? I know many of us have probably struggled and wrestled with this idea of Christians, and we're not always very good examples, are we? But God, would You help us to be better examples and not stand in the way of Your Son and what He can do in a life? We ask this in His name. Amen.